Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one-coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast, the Two Johnnies Podcast, Two Johnnies Ricard in a Podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. You're welcome to podcast number 70, coming to you from the home of the Slashers, Two Johnnies HQ in Kerr, County Tipperary. On this week's podcast, we are talking all things protests. Why do we seem to love a good protest so much in Ireland, and what's our favourite protest?
The FCA were called last time this man hurled. Noel Furlong will be in the house with the news.
Lauren is somehow still managing to put up with our shite. She'll be here with a mystery topic that's going to blow your mind.
And Smacks, unfortunately, is here with his weekly dose of shite. That's right, the Love Island Roundup.
And we round up the podcast with our weekly segment that's as traditional as fighting with your father. It is, of course, Yurt and Dirt. Now, if you're a new listener, make sure you go back and listen from the start. Trust me, it makes more sense that way. And also check us out on www.thetwojohnnies.ie for more content and tour dates. And subscribe to the podcast. Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Steve Wall emailed us. Is it Steve Wall from The Walls and The Stunning?
We're going to say it is.
We're just going to say it is. We're not 100% sure. He said, lads, I was on the night train from Agra.
That sounds like something Steve Wall from The Stunning and The Walls would say.
And the Agra is where the Taj Mahal is. He was going from there to Varanasi the other night.
It's just outside Clonalty.
No, that's you go by Port Arlington. Oh, it's the next stop, yes, then Varanasi. Yes, yes. It's about a 13-hour train journey. It was mayhem packed. And I was a bit tetchy. Everyone in India stares at foreigners, especially at this time of year, because not many white people are around, so everyone was very interested in what we were up to. It takes a while to get used to it. I had no internet and no book, then I remembered I had an episode of your podcast on my phone downloaded. Unfortunately, I did not have earphones. Not to worry, I had a speaker. So myself, my girlfriend, and about 100 Indians listened to you lads for the hour. They're all decent at English usually, but not sure anybody bar me had a clue what was being said out of the speaker. But nobody minded at all, being absolutely blared. Anyway, sending you love and spreading the love of the Two Johnnies all the way from India. Thanks, Steve Wall.
Thanks, Steve Wall from Stunning and Walls.
We hope.
We hope, yeah. Damien from Wexford also emailed us, but one of the best things ever on this podcast, and it is, of course, the Deadly Soccer Club names. And he says, all right, sons. It's obviously from Wexford.
Wexford.
Continuing on the topic of puntastic and hilarious local soccer club names, I've played in the UCD Super League for a few years now and have come across some crackers, which the original professional clubs arguably could be proud of. Some of the best include FC 20 Benson. That's obviously, of course, from the Dutch club FC 20. Borussia Spunk on Your Mam's Back. That's obviously Borussia Mönchengladbach. Exeter Gently. Oh. Exeter City. Special Olympiacos.
Oh, we shouldn't be laughing at that one.
It's a clever pun.
Oh, it's a clever pun. That's obviously Olympiacos. Young Girls, referring to young boys in Switzerland. Colonel Gaddafi, which is Getafe, the Spanish club. Dynamo Pratzi. Don't fucking know about that one.
I don't know what that is.
This one's good. Fritzel Palace.
And Crystal Palace.
Yeah. And lastly, PSG.
French champions.
Despite the names, the league is a recognised branch of the Leinster Senior League, and the standards is at a decent level when people aren't too hungover. If only there were extra points given at the start of the season for creativity. I fully agree with you, Damien and Wexford, boy. That's a classic.
How can they name themselves the Super League? You're in college, you bastards. Hello and welcome to the Super League. Up front is Niall from Ag Science.
It's very very American, isn't it?
Yeah, the Super League. Anyway, Barry Niblock. What a name. Did he make that up as well?
That sounds like something you'd put in a window to stop it opening or something.
New Niblock. He was in touch and he says, years ago when I was in uni up in Queens in Belfast, they had a soccer tournament as well. It was the Society's Cup. They wanted to put in a team, but they weren't part of a society, so they just called themselves Queens Radio and submitted a team. Anyway, they start and Paddy playing centre half shouts, right, Queens Radio, get tuned in. Paddy's going to hell for that bad joke.
Paddy, that is a bad joke.
Thanks, Barry Niblock.
Thanks, Barry Niblock. And if you want to stop your child crawling out an upstairs window, get yourself a Niblock. Okay, on last week's Dear Johnny's, we talked about a woman who found her man was subscribed to an adult entertainment service, and we've got some cracking correspondence. So we got an anonymous message. It says, myself and a few friends heard about seeking arrangements in college.
This is the website.
The website, yeah. Sick of having no money to go drinking, we set up profiles, used our own pictures but different names. Within minutes, we were getting messages. Most of them wanted sex, and a lot are actually married with children. There was one lad who didn't want sex. He just wanted to take me for dinner, but I had to wear a short skirt and high heels. We all chickened out and deleted our profiles a few days later. I do know one girl. She lives in Dublin and has a boyfriend. She has a sugar daddy, and the boyfriend knows about him. She has to meet him once a week, and he just has a wank in front of her, and that's it. He pays her and her boyfriend's rent. Don't mention my name. My dad listens to you.
Oh my gosh.
So your man goes over and has a wank in front of this one once a week, and her and the boyfriend get the rent paid in Dublin. That's an expensive wank.
It's not a bad deal.
That is not
what
a bad deal.
What does he get from that?
Don't know. Fucking... Your one gets a rent paid anyway, so fucking happy days for her.
This is, of course, seekingarrangements.com, the sugar daddy's...
website, yeah.
It's bigger in Ireland than we thought. Mm. And Dave on Insta had an interesting take on this. Lads, in relation to the OnlyFans and the content, you shouldn't be held accountable for any questionable financial decisions made when you're demented with the horn. All major decisions should be made with post-nut clarity.
Only I think that's one of my favourite comments of all time.
So OnlyFans is another website that is joined onto Instagram, a content site we talked about last week on podcast 69.
So Dave is basically saying there, like, you know, he goes to the wife after buying the car. She's like, what? Oh, sure, I was horny. It's all okay, I was horny. We got another snap in on the subject to say, lads, I know you probably get this all the time, but your podcast is getting me out of a hole at the moment, and I could never say thank you enough. I started on episode 39 and I'm listening from the start now, as well as the new ones. I'm from Galway myself, and I'm friends with a girl who is doing that OnlyFans page and is making well over €10,000 a month. I've seen her bank account. No doubt when we go out, it's her round every round. Never text into anyone famous ever, lads. Nice one, lads. Keep at it. Don't name me Mr. Chairman if you call this out. Go on. We won't name her. That's good. Never text into anyone famous. You still haven't.
Hey, 10 grand a month.
10 grand a month, lads.
In Galway on OnlyFans.
Yeah, send on a few pictures of your nun.
Wow.
You considering it, Lauren?
Jesus, no.
I'm considering it myself at this stage.
Yeah, I don't think anyone will pay for my services, unfortunately.
What the fuck? Man, I gotta go to the gym.
You could go with the whole dad bod.
Ooh, well, Lauren's saying you have a dad bod, lad. Oh, he'll try and edit that out.
She went there. Okay. Another Instagrammer said to us, well, Johnny's funny one on the topic of last week's podcast. Firstly, you're one that was worried about the boyfriend. As we said, they've been going out 3 years. He's probably seen her in GAA shorts and his t-shirt more than any of the spicy stuff. Lads want to be seeing the odd bit of spicy stuff. She needs to slide a few raunchy pictures into his phone. Secondly, that's one point, in Maynooth, there was a seven-a-side soccer league and there was a team named Howie Julia. This is in reference to OnlyFans star Julia Hulbannel. She was actually in college in Maynooth for a year. And by Jesus, she was drove demented by a crowd of lads in every lecture. Leave her alone, really, boys.
This one's interesting now. A lady was in touch with us who signed up to be a sugar baby.
Okay.
So she said, well, lads, listening to the pod about seeking arrangements. I signed up when I lived in New York out of interest. Men that were married, kids, lived bi-coastal and just looking for something different when they were in town. Some were lovely to talk to, but the good-looking ones were absolutely assholes. The much older ones were lovely, but honestly, couldn't get my head around the whole thing. Men asking how much I wanted as a stipend.
That's what they call it, yeah.
Okay, per month, and what I was looking for. You definitely don't have to have sex or anything. It's all agreed before, but I would have been a bit worried for my safety, in all honesty. Lots of girls would have a few sugar daddies, and the men would have a baby in every city. Sugar baby, wow. Wouldn't
yeah, not an actual baby.
Yeah. That's
well, they might.
A lot of maintenance. Wouldn't be at that in Ireland, though. You'd end up with one of your friend's dads in no time. Always interesting, though. Kind of wish I had done it just to say I had. So that was the girl who signed up to be sugar baby.
Fuck. Wow, it's obviously really common in America.
Can't believe this is happening in Ireland.
Sean in Kilkenny had a strip club story after last week's podcast.
Yes.
So just in relation to strip clubs, there was a strip club in Perth called The Dollhouse. It was on the way home from the night out, so I'd often stop in on the way home, just for the gawk, like. Turns out that the girls working there, most of them were just in college, using stripping as a part-time job. One night, I got a private dance, 30 minutes, from this nice girl called Sarah. After 10 minutes, I just start chatting to her, as any Irish lad would, of course. So we came onto the topic of work. I can't believe this. Like, so you're getting a lap dance. I'm like, well, what are you at yourself like, you know?
Going on to weekend.
Well, you're busy, you know? I'm on your own. So
chatting to her like she's a fucking taxi driver,
yeah. Do you know who I didn't get a lap dance the other day? Bono. No. So I said to her, yeah, I'd love to start working in the mines. Then she said her father ran a mining company and said that I should give him a call. So the following day, I did. Well, it was the most awkward conversation I've ever had. Everything was going grand until he asked me, where do you know my Sarah from? I stuttered for a second and said, we do dancing classes together. Told him I was an underage Irish dancing world champion. Total lies, of course. Unfortunately, I didn't get the job. Anyway, another night, he was in there again, getting another private lap dance when his phone starts to ring. It was an old Nokia with the old Nokia ringtone. I went to cancel the call, but the ringtone kept going. Tried turning off the phone and still the Nokia tune was blaring out. So I decided to just sit there, just sit on the phone. In fairness to the girl, she kept dancing for another 20 minutes to the Nokia tune. At the end, she said to me, she will remember the night she lap danced to the Nokia tune for the rest of her life. I got thrown out because of the phone. Best crack ever. And that was podcast 69.
Jesus Christ. Fiona Morris on Instagram was in touch. Walking up the main street in Greystones, aka the town of the happy pair, where everyone spends the day drinking coffee, walking their dog, and generally living in a bubble outside Dublin. See a man pull into the side of the road for a quick smoke break. Whatever he was playing from his speakers was considerably loud enough to startle the inhabitants within his circumference. The voice from the speaker was none other than Johnny Smacks. I could recognise that voice anywhere, but the driver had turned it down promptly before any of the villagers commenced their stereotypical brow furrowing or lip curling signs of disapproval. I went over to his car, his window was rolled down, and said, "Are you listening to the two Johnnies?" He said, "Yeah, they're gas lads, aren't they?" He told me he's from Templemore and played a match against you last week. We'll get on to that. I wished he had left the podcast turned up full volume to show the town, although I'm not sure how well Noel's news would have went down. This is, of course, the town that protested against a McDonald's being built and who served gluten-free chicken filler rolls. Anyway, just wanted to share this lovely moment I had on an otherwise shite Tuesday and use this as a shout-out to any Greystones folk who listen to your show to get in touch. P.S. Next time you're in Dublin, you're more than welcome to come out this way. Plenty of walks around Glendalough and I'll introduce you to the Happy Pear crew.
Sure, we know the Happy Pear crew. Gas men, we're hoping to have them on sometime. But who the hell is doing gluten-free chicken rolls?
Yeah, that should be illegal.
Is that even possible?
Blastimous. And what's the lad from Templemore doing in Greystones as well?
On the run,
I'd say, yeah.
So, lads, the Samba soccer saga rolls on. Andrew was in touch about this and he said, "Well, lads, long time listener, first time caller."
Ooh.
Thanks, Andrew. You're not actually calling though, are you? On the subject of Samba soccer, I was playing under 20s rugby and our club was chosen to host the Samba soccer. The coach came up to us asking, "Did anyone want 3 weeks work during the summer? Few hours a day, cash, happy out." Now bear in mind, I was an 18 stone prop who never played more than this old social five-a-side soccer badly. In any case, I was left to coach a load of young lads who thought they were coming for some Brazilian coaching at the beautiful game. Of the other 10 or 12 lads coaching, there was only one lad who'd ever played the game before or had ever been coached at soccer. Also, the jerseys they gave us were not built for chunky rugby players. So you had a load of lads poured into bright yellow t-shirts, not knowing how to kick a ball. Some scam artists they were. They would usually wheel out a vaguely Brazilian-looking lad to do a few keepy-uppies, Madonna 7s, etc. And that's
Maradona 7, lad, not Madonna. Madonna 7s,
that's
lad.
That's what you have typed here, Madonna 7s. Strike a pose, lad.
They came out in fishnets. Start dancing the vogue.
Madonna 7s. fucking stood an eye patch. Like a virgin. Anyway, he said the old Madonna 7. He's to placate the young lads.
Oh, Jesus, man. Oh, Barry, you're after ordering Madonna instead of Maradona. Just go with it. Just go with it.
Thanks, Andrew.
Adam on Instagram was in touch at re-soccer kits. You remember I was talking about Burnley kits. So, on the topic of Johnny Smacks' team wearing Burnley jerseys, my uncle played for a soccer team in Dublin called Steadfast for years. Went to loads of matches and there were loads of kit types over the years, mainly having the official badge. However, on one occasion, the lads talked out in jerseys of the Japanese national team, ordered by the team's official Wheeler Dealer. All blue kit with the Japan badge, and the Wheeler Dealer himself was the only one to have his own name and number on the back. No explanation ever given, and never in the history of Japanese soccer would you think of seeing number 10 and the surname Donnelly on the back of one being played in Marley Park in Dublin. Ah, lads, this has been the best week ever for correspondence. I feel like we should give away 10 mugs. But who is going to get the No Snooze mug kindly sponsored by HairyBaby.com, where you can buy loads of Two Johnnies merch?
I like Steve Wall on the train in India, and I also like Damien and Wexford. It was a list of names.
Yeah.
Johnny, Lauren?
I quite like the strip club story.
Yeah, Sean from Kilkenny.
That's actually a pretty good one. Yeah, ring the next day. Where'd you know my daughter from?
Can we go for that one? So.
All right, okay, congrats.
Congrats, he's getting the mug this week.
No. The weekly roundup, Johnny.
The weekly roundup,
what John. Have we been up to?
You had a bad week, lad.
I'm dying sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to bring you down.
Well, let's violin music. Go on. Get a bed of nice violin music there now.
I rang the doctors and I was like, look, I'm dying. Fucking throat is killing me. And they're like, we've no appointments. We're absolutely booked up. And I had to say, Margaret, this is Johnny B. How you doing? And she's like, go on, come down.
No chance.
I swear to God. Right, I went in waiting for an hour. But look, it was real busy. Got in anyway, into the doctor. And she's like, what's the story? When did this come on you? And I said, I woke up this morning and woke up at like 5 in the morning. Throat was real sore. So I just took 2 Panadol and went back to bed. And then I tried to get up and go about my day, do a bit of work. And then I said I was bust. So I said I went for a nap. And when I woke up, the throat like was really bad, all white spots and all. And she just grabbed my arm and said, you went for a nap?
Of everything you said to her, the one thing she was like, you went for a nap?
Like doctors have never had a nap.
Yeah.
I was like, this is the best thing ever.
I'm like, well, like we're self-employed. I was sick. Yeah, I'm going to take a nap. And then I felt better. I worked on till like fucking 1 a.m. in the morning. But like, yeah. I take a nap, yeah. There's nobody take naps anymore.
Jeez, bring back the nap. But in fairness, like, you know, there was a highlight in the week. We finally got rid of that 1950s couch you've had in your sitting room for over 40 decades, I would say now at this point. That was there before Christ, lad.
BC.
BC, lad. Johnny's couch, BC. But you got a new couch during the week.
I got a new couch. It's such a good feeling to have. It's got a recliner on it, which is deadly.
Yeah. Welcome to the fucking 21st century, lad.
But the boys delivering the couch, when they came in, just as they were leaving, they were like, lad, what's the story? Why'd you have your Christmas tree set up? Like? So for those of you that don't know, this started last Christmas. Smacks, I don't know, did I lose a bet or what? But I ended up just saying, right, we'll leave the Christmas tree up.
So I would say it was laziness.
Yeah. We're now in the middle of June and my Christmas tree is still up. So I've had a St. Patrick's Day tree decorated. I've decorated an Easter tree. I'm hoping to do a Munster final tree. If Tip get into the final, I'll tell you all about it. So that was my new couch. And big event in Johnny Smacks' life.
Oh yes, I made a return to the hurling field there.
That's right, our usual goalkeeper got injured. And come with the man, come with the hour.
I must just say I have pedigree of playing in goal. Like.
Yeah, I know, but you were retired. The knee was that bad.
Yeah, the knee was that bad.
Lauren strapped you up and you said, I'm going to have one more goal.
Yeah, one more year, lad, as they say. But yeah, I played in goal before. And like people in Care were like, Jesus, you had a great game. Did you play in there before? I was like, I fucking played for Care for like 3 years in goal. Like, does nobody remember that? Like?
You weren't famous back then.
See, that's you said it, Lauren. But yeah, we played. You played as well.
I swear to God. Smacks.
Go on, I don't want.
I'm going to tell
I don't want to be bigging myself up here.
Smacks came up as soon as one of the boys hit the ground and the ref blew the whistle. They were like, is that a penalty, ref? Yeah. I looked around and Smacks was on the 45. As soon as your man hit the ground, the knee was better and Smacks was running up to take the penalty. Scored the penalty, ran back down the field, thought we were going to need a stretcher for you.
I'm going to get in the golf buggy for next
5 minutes later then, you saved a penalty. Yeah. And me and the fella I was marking were like, oh, we'll never hear the fucking end of that.
What a day. What a day. It was brilliant, right? I said to our manager before, because when I was playing outfield, I was taking the penalties.
Yeah.
So I said to the manager, like, look, I still want to take the penalties. And he was like, grand. Okay, so penalty was given, came up. And when I was on the way up, one lad was like, oh, stick to the Snapchat, lad. I was like, I'm going to ignore you. Stuck it in the roof of the net. And then on the way I passed, I just winked at him and continued running on. So I proper gave the Damien Fitzhenry job, slapped it in the net, sprinted down. Got down to the goal line and one of our friends were doing umpire and he was like, good finish, lad. I was like, so we're going to have to work on something for the next match. But you scored a goal as well, John.
I got a goal, yeah. And it was kind of a scuttery-old shot. But like, it was in our home field. We know that field inside out. It was fair greasy. But as soon as my goal went in past keeper, everyone was like, all right, the keeper's shit. But and then we scored 3 more in quick succession.
Yeah, so we had a good win. And then we went out then for a few pints after the match because it's not often we get a win in the hurling in Care. And there was a load of Americans home in Care for the weekend. So there's like this college in America come home every summer to Care for some reason.
From Nashville in Tennessee.
Yeah.
I think one of the guys who founded the school was from Care, or one of the headmasters, some shit like that.
So they come home and go fishing and play golf in Care every year. And you see they're all 18, 19 year old like lads.
Female.
Lads, unfortunately, yeah.
That's why you don't sound too excited.
We wouldn't be telling the story otherwise.
And like they come home to Care and they think it's class because they can drink here and obviously they can't drink in America. Mm. So they're langers for the weekend. And it's the strangest thing ever because the Sunday night in Care like can be dour enough at times. And it was absolutely hopping. These lads in fucking bandanas and sandals and the whole lot going bananas. And all they were chanting all night was USA, USA. Oh, of course, our hurling team got wind of this and they were in the middle of it chanting USA as well. So it's a great night by everyone.
Now, a couple of things to tell you about. We are doing the Vodafone Comedy Festival in the Ivy Gardens and we're supporting the legend that is Tommy Tiernan.
Yeah.
Some crack. So, they came to see us in Vicker Street and your man came up to us afterwards. I didn't know who he was. And he was like, jeez, that was great, lads. I didn't know you. That was brilliant. We were sure, sound, yeah, whatever.
Sound what you want us to sign.
Come on, sign, get the selfie with him. And turns out he books the Vodafone Comedy Festival. So, they gave us, that's a great seal of approval, I suppose. We're doing 20 minutes right before Tommy. Buzzing for that.
Yeah. And we're also doing the Sea Sessions Follies Festival.
In Laois, we're doing the on Green On Festival in Kilkenny on Saturday the 13th of July. Keep an eye out for that. We're doing the Playing Fields in Clane, Kildare in August, Independence, the Flandrada and a few more. They're all on the two Johnnies.ie.
And I'd also just like to go on record and saying that this week I had an eye test. And probably from next week on, I'll be wearing glasses.
What?
So they're not, yeah.
What?
So my eyes are.
Are you for real?
My eyes are fairly bad.
Gonna ruin the image.
So I went in for an eye test, and your mom was like, "Yeah, you're short vision." Like, so from looking at the phone, basically, it's the phone has been fucked up. And your mom was like, "Oh, you're going to have to stop, you know, using the phone as much." I was like, "Yo, my life's on the phone. You know what I mean? That's my business."
Man, you got to use the phone less. Like, got to get your screen time down.
Yeah, she was like, "Can you use a tablet?" And I was like, "Oh." It's a bit big to put in my pocket, but like, I can try. So yeah, I'm going to be probably sporting glasses from next week or the week on.
What are you going for?
I went for the like Ray-Ban, the kind of Superman style.
Okay, cool.
So I'll be like Clark Kent. I'm going to get a little curl down the front of my forehead.
Would you not wear contact lenses?
No.
Why?
I don't like touching my eye.
Yeah.
Since I was 12.
You wearing contact lenses?
I am as blind, lads.
Lauren, how do you stick your finger in your eye?
Yeah, I've been doing it for the past 12 years. I'm excellent at it. No. I'm very, 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 very blind.
My eyes aren't actually that bad, as in like my far away vision is perfect and stuff like that. So it's only really for the phone. So
you're long sighted.
Yeah. So for the phone, computers and watching TV. So like, I'm not going to put in contacts just for that. But yeah, so if you see me on the podcast wearing glasses, lads, don't be slagging me, right? We're all friends. Like, can't you just leave me alone? Topic number one. In Ireland, we love nothing more than giving out about something we're not happy with. In some cases, we'll grab the flask of tea, loaf of sandwiches, and go that extra mile and get out and protest. With students from over 150 countries beginning to protest about climate change, this got us chatting during the week about what protests we've witnessed that have rocked this country and what would actually make us get up off our arses and go out and protest, and what's our favourite all-time protests.
Yeah, no, this just can't be ignored because there is massive protests going on all around the world every Friday. It's kids who should be in secondary school, young fellas and young ones. Are they just taking the day off to have the crack, or are they concerned about climate change?
I can only think that when I was in school and someone said, right, it's going to be a protest there. You don't have to go to school Friday.
It's for the dolphins.
Yeah, I would have been like, I don't care what it's for. Hand me a sign, I'm in. So like, I would say some of those kids are probably like doing LCA and are like, fuck that, give me the sign there, I'll go out and protest.
Fucking dolphins. But it's not an Irish thing. This is like started over in Europe. See, they're like genuinely interested in all that shit.
Yeah, we don't really care.
You're like, I don't live in the environment.
Yeah. I think I stated this to you during the week when we had a meeting. Like, if it doesn't directly affect me, I don't really care. And then you were like, what about in years to come? And I was like, I'll be dead.
Johnny, you are a terrible person. You are an awful human being.
But like, you heard my take on fucking not having plastic straws anymore. So that there's my view on the environment.
I contacted McDonald's.
Well.
And I said, look, some people, you know, Johnny's Max, not happy about the paper straws. Yes. And I'm all like, they're paper, they're biodegradable, better for the environment. And then long into our debate, we both kind of said, can you not just recycle the plastic straws?
Yeah.
And the guy at McDonald's was like, I'm going to come back and find out exactly what happens to the plastic straws.
Oh my
so
God.
So for next week's podcast, talking to one of the big men at McDonald's, I got him on the phone.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Go away, you were talking to some lad now, there's a drive through in Cashel.
What do you do with the straws? I don't know, lad, fuck him in the bin.
So we will have confirmation on that next week.
Yeah.
That's terrific okay. news.
So Young People for Climate Change, as they call it. Students started this. It's in 150 countries now, and they've had over 4,000 events. Now, they did it in Ireland, in Merrion Square in Dublin, and they had 3,000 students at it. Now, I loved it because I saw some of the signs, and there was one young one. She was like up on a fella's back, and I think he had his top off, and she had a big sign saying, I want a hot boyfriend, not a hot climate.
No way.
Yeah.
But like, do we not want a hot climate?
You're going to melt the ice caps, lad. The polar bears be fucked.
Yeah, but we'd be able to barbecue.
It'd be too unpredictable.
Oh, it'd be wild then.
Yeah, sure, like the farmers be fucked then, like they'd have no wind, rain, you know what I mean?
I want a hot boyfriend, not a hot climate.
Yeah.
I like it. Like I reckon most of them just probably thought like there was a concert happening or something. All the glitter on their faces and everything going protest. They thought it was fucking oxygen.
Well, since that protest, the government has agreed to one of their demands, and it says they have made a declaration that Ireland is a national climate and biodiversity emergency.
Okay,
emergency situation.
Let's all keep our composure.
And we're going to do fuck all, but at least they've declared an emergency.
You feel strongly about that, though, about the whole climate change thing. Like you've been...
Yeah, but it's costing us money.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's a carbon limit, and if you're not underneath that, you have to buy carbon credits of someone else. That's what China's doing. That's what America's doing. Okay. And we're like, you can either reduce your pollution or else like buy credits off a country that's not using all of theirs. Okay. So we're sending millions to Europe, and we should just reduce our.
So if you're footprint. So bothered, then why aren't you protest?
Sure, I'm flat out, lad. I'm flat out.
Genuinely,
I am flat out.
I'll give you a day off, man. You can take a day off and go up to Merrion Square just to take your top off.
I'm going to skip ahead and just say I kind of slightly disagree with your intro. I don't think Irish people do like protesting. I think there's a small majority of Irish people who love protesting, and most people are like yourself, Johnny, I think, who look at protesters and go, would you not go away and go to work, you fuckers? Like, yeah. A lot of people think like that.
A lot of people do, but like we protest per capita a lot. For the size of the country we are, like over in China, they're protesting a lot in China. But like,
they get shot in China.
Yeah, but there's loads of people like we protest over like so the farmers protest. They all went to Dublin in a tractor. We're not making enough money. I was working at Super Value getting fucking €8 an hour. I wasn't making enough money. I wasn't chaining myself to the fucking front entrance though. You know what I mean? Like,
John Dolan.
Yeah. Oh, the farmers aren't, we're not making enough money. We'll have a big tractor run.
Yeah, okay, like, that was great crack, I would imagine.
Farmer porn, like, yeah, from lads from the country.
2,000 tractors travelled in what they called the Tractorcade. Sounds like a transformer.
Marty Moan led the way, lad. He drove first in his truck.
And they arrived in Dublin, and this is on January 10th, 2003. And to minimise disruption, they agreed to limit their convoy to 300 tractors, which descended on Merrion Square, where John Dillon of the IFA gave a rousing speech demanding an improvement in incomes. But see, beef prices can be dictated by the big companies, yeah, the likes of Larry Goodman's and all, mm-hmm, and milk prices. So the farmers have to vent somewhere.
But I think, like, the farmers are making good money for a lot of years, and they were still giving out.
I don't know how rich farmers are, lad.
Yeah, well, they're not going to tell you how rich they are.
They wouldn't tell you the time of day. They're not my cows in the field at all. I don't know who owns them.
But like, that's my thing. I think Irish people like protests, lad. The time of the water charges, there was lads out protesting the water charges who didn't give a shit. Like, they were living in council houses. They weren't going to be fucking paying for the water anyway.
But straight away, you're making an assumption about the kind of people who are protesting. That's your view of protesting.
Yeah, but I, like, so you don't protest because you're flat out working.
Eventually, I have protested.
No, you just said.
Yeah.
You just said.
But I will.
I'm sure if he had a really strong opinion on something, I'm sure he would go and protest.
I've protested before, but I think if it was something massive now, like if there's another probably climate change one, I might go stick the head in.
Oh man, I'm going to video that.
Mm.
You going around with a load of crusties.
But sure, it's not just crusties, lad.
No?
There's other lads in it as well. Okay, see, the farmers, yeah, you don't want to mess with them, lad.
No, they're not to be trifled with.
Plowing match on wheels.
They will.
But it's hard for, okay, the kind of the only protest I took part in was lots of years ago when I was in school. There was a teacher strike, and we were like, hey, we're doing the Leaving Cert here, what's the crack? Teachers kept missing days, so our school was one of the first in the country after, as we'd call it, sus after 11 o'clock. Did you have sus?
Yeah, sus, in primary school though.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, little break.
I'm still a child. After sus, we all just walked out and just stood outside the school for the day having a crack.
So the students organised it?
Yeah, students. And
in response to the teachers striking?
Yeah.
How did that come about? Like what student said, right, we're going to have a yolk? And then like...
A student council.
Okay. Right. Well, fair play to them.
Yeah, they were like teachers. The teachers missed a lot of days. And he was like, one of the guys was freaking out like...
But does that not directly contradict the teachers aren't teaching you, so you're going to leave when the teachers want to teach you?
But it was the only...
Could you not have like asked, I don't know, no, a sub teacher to come in and teach you for the day?
But sure, it was the only mechanism available to us. Like,
did you stop the teacher strike?
We put a bit of pressure on him.
You put him under pressure.
Yeah. But sure, it's hard. Like, sure, what do nurses do? What do guards do? Like, they try and strike, and sure, everyone is like, oh, the poor patients. And then the nurses are like, I can't afford to live in Donnybrook anymore.
I think the one, we definitely get on to nurses and guards because they do deserve better. The one that kills everyone is when Ryanair attempt to strike. All those Irish people who've got bargain flights to Torremolinas for their one fucking little bit of happiness in their year, and there's some fella from Ryanair striking, and you're going, please, I've saved up 9 months for this. I just want a tan and a cheap bottle of San Miguel. Can you not fuck off and strike another day? And they're striking a lot.
No, do you know who are the greatest shower of bastards of all time? I'll tell you now, the greatest...
Tell them to step out, Johnny.
The greatest shower of fuckers has to be French air traffic controllers.
Oh, they're scumbags. They're scumbags. Yeah.
Every time I go on a flight, those motherfuckers are striking. Or there's a threat of them. And the threat is worse because you're going to the airport going, is this going to take off now?
Yeah.
Are the French going to fuck the baguette out the window? I'm like, oh, sacre bleu, I need my money. Or whatever, like, you know? I don't know what they'd be arguing about, but the French air authority need to sort their shit out. I ain't even going to France. I'm not even going to France, and you're fucking up my holiday. Just because I'm flying through your airspace. Oh.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry, we slithered into your yard, France.
Get that. Get it off your chest. Good man. Now, you mentioned briefly, Johnny, the nurses and guards.
Go on.
Now, in fairness to them, the nurses and guards are a vital part of daily living in Ireland.
Oh, yeah. The nurses, anyway.
Yeah. You know, somebody has to keep Ryan's and Camden Street open. So the nurses are a vital part. But they threatened, 24-hour strikes inclusive of 40,000 nurses. Like, what happened? What I want to know is, what happened in the hospital when nurses were striking?
So they would have brought in agency nurses, and plus a lot of elective appointments and surgeries were all cancelled.
Okay. So they kind of downscaled skeleton crew.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want to be something seriously wrong with you. So the INMO is seeking pay parity with other graduate entry health professional grades such as physiotherapists. Oh, you're fucking making loads of money.
Big money, John Boy.
Who it maintains are paid about €7,000 more than nurses.
So don't be looking at me. I don't work in a hospital.
Jeez, you're only rubbing legs. Do you know what I mean? And stuff
and
like
well,
that.
We're only working 8 to 4 in a hospital.
So physios in a hospital work 8 to 4 and get €7,000 more than a nurse who does night shifts.
And lads, I'll tell you one thing, that the stuff nurses do in a hospital ward, yeah. I couldn't believe it when I was on placement. I have so much respect for them.
Tell me this. What's the points roughly for physio?
My year was 555. So it's been 540, 550, 560.
Did you get 555 in your leave?
Well, she didn't get in by giving a handjob. Like, she fucking got the points. Like, yeah.
Yes, I would like to Whoa. Back that. I didn't get in with any.
And now you're on this podcast.
And what are the points?
Your parents must be so proud.
What's the points for nursing?
I think it varies, but it could
be. You just have to be caring.
450 to about 500, I would say.
That's high enough.
But the difference there is the intake of nursing students will be much greater than it will be physio. So,
yeah.
Like, you have to obviously up the points if there's less places.
No, we're all for the nurses and guards. The union are arguing such increases are necessary to deal with recruitment and retention issues in the health service. Sure, all the nurses are off in fucking
Dubai.
Australia and Dubai and all these lovely places in England.
I'm the crack.
Yeah, getting paid better. Why would they come home here for the misery?
It's good old cracking.
Yeah, but we have to make it more appealing, lads, for the nurses.
I think that, you know, Leo Varadkar needs to put a package together. There's a few bob, a copper's gold card.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Tickets to the qualifiers.
And a date with a farmer from Wicklow or something.
Guard. Need some sort of guard teacher Tinder.
Access, yeah.
Okay, so the other mad protest that go on in Ireland, I'm saying, is the legalised hash one. This goes on every year.
Jesus.
They have a big parade down the street in Dublin. The lads playing the drums. Fellas smoking funny stuff. The whole lot. It goes on every year.
Fellas smoking funny fags.
Yeah, it goes on. It goes on. And I remember one time it made the papers. It was a really big one. And there was a load of lads from Care in the photographs on the front of the Irish Independent or whatever. I was like, oh my God.
I heard they mashed over the lads.
Fucking dreadlock warriors, the lot of them.
Jesus.
So the water charges, right, was one. Everybody got in on the water charges, really. But look, we all know the crack. Most people who were protesting about water charges didn't actually give a shit about water. It was like a protest against the government. We're not happy with the way things are going. General austerity. Because, like, the water charges thing was handled terribly.
Yeah.
But I understand the principle that they're trying to conserve water. And when they did introduce water charges at first, the national usage of water went down something massive, like 30% in the first month. Like, people really started conserving their water. So eventually, they'll come around and find some other way to make you reduce water. And that money you would have been paying on water tax, you're going to pay it in general taxation or somewhere anyway. Yeah.
Was it to do with the water usage, though, or was it just another way to get money through taxes?
Bit of both.
A combination, I would imagine.
That's probably what pissed off people more.
Yeah.
What?
That they were just taxing something that's so plentiful in Ireland.
But sure, it isn't plentiful. Like, there's people all
you
over
live on
Ireland.
An island.
Really? There's people all over Ireland for years who couldn't get clean drinking water. Remember all the shit in Galway? For years. In Clare, you don't care about Galway. You turn your back to Galway. I wouldn't piss on Galway. In Galway, they couldn't drink the water for years. Yeah. They'd buy bottles of water.
Okay.
So the water system in Ireland does need to be upgraded.
That's why people in Galway don't wash.
I remember when I went to Dublin first years ago, lads, I was on the bus get the night clink home, and I got chatting to some random young one, and she's like, where are you from? Tipperary, yeah? Do you know why everyone in Tipperary is smelly? I was like, okay, why? Because all your bats is full of poutine, yeah? There you go. Water charges.
Yeah, they took the water charges, to be fair though, when they falsely imprisoned former Thomas to Joan Burton in her own car during the protests. The lads got done for that.
A few lads got done.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, if you're protesting, you got to watch it. Yeah. You got to keep public opinion on your side.
Yeah.
And even if you hate Joan Burton, you got to let her do her job.
Yeah.
You've got to find a more peaceful way to protest.
You were saying you enjoyed when the old people protested.
Yeah, they tried to reduce the pension. And be to fuck, the old lads. The old lads descended on the doll like there was fucking free tea and buns, lads. I swear.
They came up to the doll really slowly.
With their Zimmer frames.
Yeah. Richard, you do not want to pick a fight with them, right? Because no. Old people, they all vote.
Yeah.
They all have free travel.
Yeah.
And they fuck all else to be doing. If you and I, the old people, you're in for it.
And people like old people. Do you know what I mean? Like, you hate seeing old people struggling with anything, like, you know.
Yeah.
So when you see them under pressure, standing, freezing outside the doll, you're like, ye bastards.
Go on.
Just give them the extra €2 a week.
Like, go on, give them their money. But things happen. Like, the big movements in Ireland, they repealed the 8th.
Yeah.
That started as a protest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a regular thing.
And it's, yeah, it ultimately led to the referendum.
Can I ask you something now? Protesting in Ireland.
Mm.
Most people have just gone online.
Or sign a petition or something like that.
Change your profile picture and has like repeat the 8th across the bottom.
Oh yeah.
But it's like online or social media protesting, you can reach a lot of people. So does it not have the exact same effect?
Does anyone care though?
Well, I think with the likes of the repeal the 8th or the marriage equality referendum, that was won through young people's votes, which was predominantly swayed through social media. So I think if you were to just protest down O'Connell Street versus talk about it on social media for a couple of weeks, I think you'd have more benefit in social media for those two particular referendums.
Yeah. Protesting against the pension wouldn't be much use led to social media. Like.
No.
Newsletter.
Yeah.
There's something going on now. The boys out in Sudan are getting an awful doing. And there's like an online protest going around. People are changing their profile picture to a solid blue tile. Just to say that, like, you know, what was that Notre Dame burnt down, like, and the whole place is going mad about it, like. And then in Sudan, like, there's been, like, a military coup. And there's loads of people dying and been raped and bit and kicked around the place. Worse than the Christian Brothers. And nobody's saying that. It's not even in the news. So maybe we should all turn our tiles blue for Sudan. But I want to know. I was going to do it. And I was going.
You laughed at that. Like, we can't be laughing at Sudan. Like,
I'm telling you, Sudan's not been talked about, and it should be. They're getting some doing out there now. The place is a fucking war zone.
But if you're just going to change your Facebook profile picture, that's just tokenism.
Exactly. I was wondering, if I do it now. I seen a musician that I like and they had it done, and then I was like, will I do it? And then I was like, will people be like, what's that fucking ape doing that for? Because like, I doubt I have many followers from Sudan.
Yeah.
So like, I'm showing solidarity, but like, are they aware of my show?
Yeah, it doesn't make a blind bit of difference, I don't think.
What's their internet like?
Oh, they didn't have internet for a while, but it's back now.
Alright, okay.
But sure, it's great and all seen. Oh, look, Johnny B over there in Ireland changed his Facebook profile picture. I'm still getting attacked.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Do you know, maybe an old government minister might be perusing my Instagram, looking at memes, and be like, oh, jeez, Johnny, fuck Sudan. Yeah, jeez, I meant to say that to the minister. Yeah, I'll have a chat with him.
You might.
Is it a trickle down protesting, like, that if everyone in Ireland changed their profile to the blue tile?
Yeah, but would it not be more in our line to actually help them, as in get a collection of money together or something like that, and give the money to rebuild or something? Is that not more effective than changing your Facebook photo blue?
So maybe instead of that, we should like write an email to the to the correct minister.
Yeah, you go in and do that there now.
Minister of Foreign Affairs.
Yeah.
Say, look, hey, Sudan are getting a bad fucking going over. Give me another dig out. They're getting some doing, lad. They're in a bad way, and nobody's protesting. And I just think, but you didn't, what do you protest over? Like, people went mad over the water charges, and you know, people protested about, I don't know,
Eurovision.
But like,
they were giving out to me there. I said something about Eurovision on Instagram. Why didn't I boycott?
Yeah.
Well, fuck all got to do with me. I just watched.
Yeah, but sure, then the Israelis were giving the Palestinians a bit of a doing as well. Like,
Everyone's getting a bit of a doing that, but according to you.
That's it. Say Donald Trump came to Ireland and people protested. You don't, you mightn't be a fan of his, but like, he was democratically elected. Like, I wouldn't have voted for him, but like, he was elected. Like, why didn't we protest when the leaders of China came over? Should they have a worse human rights record than America?
That's a fair point as well, yeah.
I think we like to pick and choose.
It's because we like Chinese food.
Yeah. Well, we like burgers too, like American food.
That's true.
Home of the Big Mac.
Yeah, as regards protest, right? That would get you out and protest.
I'll probably... After it was something mental. I remember at one stage there, they were talking about building a nuclear power plant in Ireland. When we were kids now, that was on the go. And people protested about that.
I remember they sent out like little iodine packs or something, did they? Was that back in the day?
What?
Yeah, look me in the eye and tell me I'm safe.
Yeah, all this, time to, I remember that actually.
If something mental like that now, I'd protest.
Yeah, I would protest. The only thing that would probably get me off my lazy arse to get out and protest is if we could maybe like extend the weekend to another day. So everything would be a 4-day week. The bank would open Monday to Thursday. Schools would open Monday to Thursday. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday would be proper weekend job. I'm going to start that movement now.
How does that directly affect you, though?
Because it'll be some crack for me.
You don't work 9 to 5 Monday to Friday.
Yeah, I know, but like, I like to have the weekend. You see, if I have a day off...
Johnny, you know, we're self-employed.
Yes.
You're going to be working 7 days a week anyway, hon.
Just extend the weekend, right? More crack. I'm thinking of everyone else
You're
here.
Thinking of the 3 nights out at the weekend.
That as well, but I'm selfless here. I'm thinking of all the people who work in... I've worked in a factory in the past. I've worked in these shit jobs. I've hoovered insides out of pigs. I know what it's like.
Okay.
3-day weekend. 3-day. I'm going to get it going, lads. I'm going to get that going online. He went viral during the week when his interview with Donald Trump aired. Let's see what madness he has for us this week. It's time for Noel Furlong. And it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News. It's Noel's News.
I'm young for that.
Well, Noel, how are you?
I'm all right, middling.
Mad success during the week when the video of you and Mr. Trump went out.
Oh yeah.
What do you think? Did you get anybody on to you about it?
I had a bit. He don't do too many interviews with the Irish lads.
Donald?
No, it's only he done myself and Michael Lester before.
Lester.
Fucking tipped awfully the uses.
Did he?
Yeah. You want to tip him over a cliff, that crowd. But how is it you couldn't do another video like that?
We said we'd leave it to the expert.
Yeah. Geraldine is some woman to edit.
She is, yeah. Fair juice to her.
Fair juice to her. Lads, I have news for you.
Good.
Okay. Bit of a dose on me. D-Day. Right? June 6th, 1944. Mullingar declares independence. No. It was, for the first time in history, the Brits invaded a country where they were actually welcome. Right? France, the country, known for the big loaves of bread, like a fucking horse's hammer. You know the big loaf, the old French loaf?
Yeah, French baguette.
A baguette, that's them. Baguette, bite. Normally when the Brits invade, it's like, oh, we, you know, in name of Her Majesty the Queen, we hereby discover Australia, you know. Yeah. And all the Aboriginals are like, well, g'day, prick. We fucking live here, you know. And then the Brits are like, I can't see you. I can't see you. You're too dark. I can't see you. So it's just fucking, you know what I mean? And there are some sort of bastards. You know, Captain Cook, right? He took Australia off the Aborigines and then he tried to kill Peter Pan. Captain Cook by Captain Cook by some prick. So D-Day, the Brits invaded France because it was full of German tourists and they wanted them out. So the Yanks went as well. God forbid they'd miss a row. And the Canadians went over for a look as well.
Jesus.
But one man stuck inside in the whole of the US Army landed abroad in Normandy. Tough station. Tough fucking station landing in Omaha Beach in D-Day. Fucking you thought Limerick Junction was bad. This soldier's name was K.T. Robbins. Do you know this man? No? No. So he was stationed in the town of Bray. Bray. B-R-I-E-Y. Bree. And he fell in love with an 18-year-old French lady named Jenny Pearson-Ni-Gene. So I think that's how they say it. Sounds like something you'd rub on sunburn. So as far as we know, he was fomping Ginny, right? For 2 months, flat out. Okay. She was 18 and he was 22. But she was French. So it's like that saying, you know, give a man a fish. So then he was reposted as the war changed, right? He was gone. She never saw him again. Right? 75 years later, he was going back to France for the old D-Day commemorations. And he was telling this story to a woman. She's a journalist. And what did she do? She went out and found Ginny.
No way.
Yeah, 75 years. So he went to meet her. And he fumped the hope off her again.
He did not.
No, I don't know. Poor man is fucking 97. And she's living in a retirement home.
Wow.
I fucking hate that. No way I'd go in there.
No?
When a fair gang of lads fucking shift me. FCA, fucking ICA, ESP, the whole lot wouldn't fucking combined wouldn't get me in. I tell you, I plan on dying long before Carmel. Fact. That is a fact. She better not die before me, I'll fucking starve. So Private Robbins and Ginny hadn't seen each other in 75 years. And they had both gone and gotten married in the time. He went back to America and she was in France and the whole lot. And that wouldn't bother me. I tell you, a fella come all the way from America after 75 years looking for my wife. I'd ride him myself. That's some effort to be making. That's just good manners. So as fate would have it, they are now both widowed. They're both single.
Okay.
So there might be a bit of romance on the horizon. But with him being 97 years of age, there's probably arthritis and gallstones on the horizon. But as John Lennon used to say, all you need is love.
Yeah.
There you go. That was the Beatles, right? And they played Wembley. They never played the fucking Davins. All you need is shin guards. I was wise to them, Bison. Some lads pull late. I pull early. Fucking ball still be inside in the bag. I'd be pulling. As my father used to say, give a man a fish. So, we all grew up learning about the curse of Nanonagel. The curse of Nanonagel. The great Cork woman. After an unfortunate incident at Cork Harbour, wasn't she cursed by a witch to die an immediate and terrible death? Now, I usually wouldn't believe in that kind of thing. But just 40 years later, after the curse, didn't she die? And it just goes to show, give man a fish. And you've heard of the curse of the Mayo footballers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The curse that Andy Mourne has to play until he's 101 years old. But there is a new sporting curse.
Okay.
The curse of the Drake. Yes, this is, of course, Drake meaning male duck. That's a fact, that's what the word Drake means. So this man has named himself after a duck. And he is a rapper, right? And they all have crazy names. Are you familiar with any of the local rappers?
No, I'm sure you're going to tell us.
You know my neighbour Shane Ryan? Yeah. He goes as Slim Shaney. And of course, the chef in the Shamrock Lounge, Soup Dog. And his gay brother is a singer now as well, Puff Paddy. Them rappers, see, the problem with them boys is they be at home now snorting hash and licking glue. And you wouldn't be right, you wouldn't be well at it. Cousin of mine. Cousin of mine snorted hash once. And when he woke up the next day, he was colourblind. That's a fact. That is a fact. Fact. Which is an issue because he's a guard.
Okay.
And I said, how do you manage the traffic lights? And he said, well, the top light means stop, the bottom one means go, and the middle one means go like fuck. So this duck rapper, right, the Drake, he became an ambassador for his local basketball team in Canada.
Soup Dog.
Soup Dog, right? His cousin Huey's. And every time he went to a big match for the basketball team, he'd go and he'd cheer him on. He'd on the base. And they'd lose. They'd fucking lose all the basketball games that he went to. And I said, like, but so what is he shouting in? He's probably shouting in the wrong stuff. I tell you, I was watching our junior A's playing against Rovers down the field. And I gave the Rovers team such abuse that day. I got man in the match. And I wasn't even tugged off. I got man in the match.
Snoop Dogg.
I fucking abused everyone in, right? So, the duck man, he supported Serena Williams in 2015 when she got knocked out of the US Open by a 300-1 outsider. And he was having tea with the soccer player Sergio Aguero in London, and their very next game, Sergio Aguero kicked a penalty wide, and his team Manchester City had a shock defeat to Spurs. Then the boys, Paris Saint-Germain, the soccer team, a few of them lads had a photo with him, and in their very next game they lost 5-1.
Whoa.
Which would be unusual, because most of the French soccer teams are dirt.
Yeah, yeah.
PSG normally piss that fucking thing, right? And he was in Conor McGregor's corner when the Dubliner tapped out. He had a photo with Anthony Joshua, and they said on it, I was talking to him on Twitter, we're going to break the curse. Next fight, Joshua was bent up by a lad who, I swear to God, he was tipping out my wheelie bin a month before. Andy Ruiz, he used to be a fucking bin man with the council. He went out and poked the head off Andy Joshua. Fuck, he's a big lad.
Big lad, yeah.
He got two arses, that fella. Front and back. So, big man. So there's multiple other cases of this, the Drake curse, right? But it may finally have been broken, because his beloved basketball team, the Toronto Raptors, won the American All-Ireland.
Yeah.
And he was delighted. But many people still believe the duck man is cursed. So I have put his name in for the Kilkenny job. Now, in local news, you'd all be very sad to hear. Packy Nagin has the flu. A terrible sickness has come down on the parish. There's a bad dose going round. And worst of all, I'm sick.
You're sick as well.
I haven't been sick since the 2009 Ireland final. The All Ireland final 2009, Martin Comerford scored the second goal and I got sick all over the Cocker Spaniel. Carmel had a shit attack. It was fucking half eaten carrots all over the new rug. Well, I said, woman, what do you want a rug for? Back in my day, there was no rugs. Fucking, we were hardy. No rugs. But I was telling you about the local musical society putting on their show. And our leading actor, Packy Nagle, who was supposed to be doing Robin Hood, he's down with a dose. So now all his people were, look, they were rough men out in Kilmore. They were rough men. They came up from West Cork years ago. Fucking rocketing bastards, the whole lot. Stink. Like, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him wash. So Robin Hood was sick. Now Dermot, of course, would be the obvious choice to fill in. Him having donned the role back in the 80s, last time he'd done Robin Hood. But Dermot was actually gone to a Zulu wedding. Now, Dermot was gone to a Zulu wedding. Now, he wasn't invited, but he feels a strong affinity with the Zulu people. And he always has done since his time with the county council. So the panto, you know, they're musical boys. They're not spoiled for choice. They're only a small parish. They have more pubs than they have buildings. Do you know what I mean? Quick maths. So who stepped into the role? They had to get the Polish mechanic. Yeah, to step in as Robin Hood. Fuck it, he was more like Bison Hood. Oh, it was a shambles. The Merry Men had cap guns. And Lambert messed up the backdrop. He got the one from the school. So all the scenes inside in the castle had fucking grease lightning behind him. Prince John and Danny Zuko going at it. So, Robin Hood. Now, I don't know them boys. Is it because they all had to do military service or what? But they fucking shout. They talk like they're trying to kill you with vowels. So he said to me, he was doing his lines and opening night. And he said, I kill Sheriff Nottingham, no problem. I said, fuck, he sounds like a drunk Robocop. I was shouting at him, hey, Ivan Drago, fucking get loose. Loosen up, will you? Fucking stiff as a board. Loosen up. And I says to Donny, I said, Donny, we're going to get killed here. We're going to be a riot. The women from the daycare centre were in, you see. They couldn't understand him at all. They kept trying to order 7-Up off him. They thought he was a waiter. They was fucking racist, that crowd. Old people can be like that. He was going to kick off. And I said, have you this place insured? You see, the farmers would always have a little bit of insurance. Because at any moment, a woman could come in and take half your farm.
Okay.
You'd have to have the place insured. So I went on as Friar Tuck. And I kind of told a few snarled yarns. And I got, I got the crowd back on side. And the Polish Robin Hood was looking at me like he wasn't happy. He said, fucking, no, why you always have to be boss? And I said, hey, you, Vladimir Putin. I said, sometimes I piss in the garden. Just to show the dog who's boss.
Oh, huh? Man.
Give a man a fish. That's a fucking, that's a fact.
You're on fire and all this week. Any plans for the
week? A few hot toddies now, straighten myself out.
Yeah.
Might go toward the tip Limerick, I'll see. Yeah. Eddie get me a ticket for nothing.
Did he?
Hopefully.
I think they're all sold out.
Man. Don't matter, I'm not buying them. I don't care if they're selling them, I ain't buying them.
Good man, we'll see you next week.
Good luck.
Don't forget to rate, review and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast and use the hashtag Two Johnnies Pod to have your say. And you can get in touch on Instagram at the Two Johnnies. You can email us podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie or you get us on Snapchat as well and check out thetwojohnnies.ie. Fresh from getting a facial during the week in the beauticians, of course. Lauren, what's the story? What's your mystery topic this week?
Cheers to that. Okay, boys. So I've kept a fairly decent standard of mystery topic up, I think, since rejoining you two.
Yes.
So this week, I want to talk boobs.
Hey.
Yes.
But maybe not as you think.
Something we know about.
So this week, in an interview with Sharon Viola on RTE, Ciarán Cuerda, Sean O'Farrell stated that women's TDs and senators may now breastfeed their babies in Leinster House, including inside the Dáil and Shannon chambers. So there's loads of benefits to breastfeeding. The World Health Organization says adolescents who are breastfed as babies are less likely to be overweight or obese or less likely to have type 2 diabetes. So I want to know your thoughts on mothers breastfeeding their babies in public. Is it acceptable? Is there an etiquette to it? And would you be awkward if you were in the company of a woman breastfeeding?
I'd like to think I wouldn't be awkward. But looking at you now, if you got one of your babs out, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So in general, I'm in favour. Breastfeed away if you want. None of my business. There is, women are cute enough about it. You wouldn't see much now. They'd have the baby's head tucked in there and he'd be sopping away.
Yeah. Nowadays, women are a lot more discreet. I wasn't breastfed.
It's only on the rise in the last couple of years, apparently, yeah.
And I turned out fine.
Well, what was that about? Overweight?
Yeah. Oh, shit.
As a child. Shit. Okay.
But I think women are more discreet nowadays. I remember when I was like, have my graduation night from TUI, there was a woman there breastfeeding. And that's like, 12, 13 years ago. And like, you could see too much.
Right.
And everybody was fucking horrified.
Go away.
Were they was the talk. And hey,
were they bad tits?
She was an older lady.
Right.
Gravity was taking us to
her. Yeah, they weren't that perky.
That's nature. Women are normally cute enough, but no, you don't see too much. Work away, ladies, I would say.
Yeah, no, I was chatting to a girl at home there, and she was breastfeeding away. And for the first 20 minutes talking, I didn't realise.
They have a special bra, as you see.
Yeah, and she had this top on, and like she still had like a full top on, and so I couldn't see it.
Good.
Yeah, and then like I just looked over and I was in the middle of a chat and I just, whoa. I got all fucking weirded out then. I got really awkward. And I was like, oh, geez, I'll leave you too. And she was like, no, you're grand. And I was like, no, I'll leave you too. And ran out the door. But I genuinely didn't know. It's that discreet. Like, and it, like they say it develops like a closer bond with your baby if you're breastfeeding. But I think if you ask any fathers out there, they're saying, oh, just breastfeeding's great. You don't have to sterilize bottles. But if you're going away on a journey, just say you're going away, right, we're doing a bit of shopping. I'm going down there looking at a few couches. And you have the sprog. You have to sterilize the bottles before you go. Have them all made up and bring the mixtures with you and a big bag. Whereas, if you're not, you just bring the tit. Just bring the woman.
I'd say most people are on the combo. Are on the tit and the bottle.
Anyone I've been chatting to now purely tit for the first 2 or 3 months. And then you go on the bottle.
I know you bulk quicker on the bottle. Anyone on the cut is on the tit.
I'll tell you. Just this is an interesting bit. What age do they stop breastfeeding? I would assume it's two or three months, yeah? Probably.
I would. More than that. 6 months with it.
Fuck that.
How would it be? I don't know.
She's been nearly getting tea at that stage. She'd be fucking destroyed.
Wouldn't. You already wouldn't. Hey, my thing is just on the doll there, in the doll chambers, like, that a woman be breastfeeding. I don't think you should have children in there, full stop.
Yeah, but if... like, if it ensures a short or a quicker return to doll duties, like, would that not be a pro?
Don't you get maternity leave?
I would assume you do as a TD.
So by the time your maternity leave is over, you're probably finished breastfeeding. Or
would you? I would assume you would get maternity leave. Yeah, it's like any job. Maybe. I don't. Yeah, that's.
But can you take maternity leave from an elected position? You were elected to be there for 5 years.
Google that there, Lauren, will you?
I'll Google it. I'm gonna Google.
Yeah,
that is a tricky one.
Because I can't imagine some TD coming in with his 4 kids and being like, okay, so I just want to address the doll. Peter, stop slapping your brother. Leave him alone now. You know, you'd be like, elected that fucker. He's bringing, like, you bring your kids to work there.
It's not the same thing.
Yeah, but like, that's what I'm saying. Kids shouldn't really be allowed in there then, in that sense.
Don't they provide the child minding service there for them?
I would imagine they would. I would think that they'd only bring them into the chamber for the need of breastfeeding, because obviously I would imagine you wouldn't be able to get anyone else to cover over that service, you know?
Other than that. A friend of mine has a theory, Johnny Smacks.
Go on.
That people who are not breastfed don't like sports capped bottles. Do you know sports bottles that are shaped like a tit?
Yeah.
That it's people that's supposed to be like subconsciously recreating the tit, whereas people who aren't breastfed prefer the screw top bottles.
That's very interesting.
Wow, that is. I wasn't breastfed now, but I'm partial to the odd bottle. Luke says sport.
Yeah, with the sports cap.
Just TDs need a sixer to get time off to have their baby. Yeah, pregnant members of the Oireachtas have to provide a sixer to get time off to have their baby. The doll has heard.
By God.
Fianna Fáil TD Niamh Smith said it was quite insulting being asked for a sixer, not acknowledging the basic human right of having a baby.
Lauren, would you be happy to breastfeed in public right here in this office?
I think so. I'll come back to me in about 10 years and I'll give you a proper answer. I would imagine so. They have bras now that you can just take away one of the cups and then you wear like a wraparound dress so that you don't have to get undressed.
Okay.
And most women would, I think, use like a towel or a blanket or something to cover just to give the child some privacy.
It is discreet. It is discreet. And I think I speak for the both of us here in saying that, like, we've no problem with anybody breastfeeding wherever they are, you know, and that's your own prerogative, the whole lot. But if you're in the doll, I don't think you should be, like, I think your sole focus, if you're in there, should be work.
I'm sure, isn't it a human right?
Making me out now to be a prick.
Yeah. That's my job.
Like, I would imagine the women in there feel like they need to go and represent who has elected them, and if their little 6 week baby has to come too, then so be it.
Yeah, that's a tough spot.
Yeah, tough station. Fair play, lads. This is Ireland, but we're getting liberal now. Lauren, enjoy that. Right, now it's time for my favourite part of the show, where I get a couple of minutes to talk about my favourite subject, Love Island. Week 2, lads, has commenced, and what a week it's been. On Sunday night, new boy Danny came in. Did you see him yet, no?
No. Oh, wait.
He looks like a tanned version of Dermot Connolly.
Yes.
Like, if Dermot Connolly met Quagmire from Family Guy.
Oh, with the big jaw.
Yeah, with the big jaw. That's what they look like. And he immediately hit it off with the Irish girl.
Go ahead.
Yowande. Yeah.
That's the one like, yeah. Are Mayo going to win the All-Ireland?
Yeah.
Yowande.
Yowande. So they are hitting it off. That's all going well. And then Sharif.
Why did he get thrown out?
Sharif got the bullet, lads. He has left the villa. Nobody really knows. They said that he had a chat with producers and it was agreed that he would leave by mutual consent. Now, there's been rumours going around during the week that he had a scrap with Anton, but seemingly there lies. And then I heard another rumour during the week that he was using an illegal phone. So he'd smuggled the phone in with him.
Mm.
And was using it, obviously, to check online.
Mountjoy like job.
Mountjoy job, yeah, up his hoop. Curtis, you know Curtis, the fella from Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
He shacked up with Joanna Amy. And he's, Curtis is slowly becoming the house psychiatrist. He's like Graham from the Jeremy Kyle show. It's like go backstage to Graham.
Right.
He's slowly but surely becoming this psychiatrist to the whole house.
Okay.
He's a ballroom dancer. The fuck do you know about? The fuck do you know? And your one Amy is his missus.
Right.
And this week they became half boyfriend, half girlfriend. So they didn't want to go full exclusive. Now that's a handy one for the men of Ireland. Yeah. Do you know? Hey, we won't go out, but you're half me girlfriend. Do you know what I mean? You only ever really want half, ain't you?
Is this like, you know, I'm keeping my options open, but yeah. you still have to do the earning.
Yeah, this is what they call, what people would call, we're shifting, you know, we're kind of seeing each other, shifting. So half boyfriend and girlfriend, and I just want to say his Mrs. Amy is an absolute bitch.
Great.
Yeah, she is, isn't she? Mm. She's come across as an absolute bitch this week. She's been kind of snide to Lucy. Who looks like Hayley from Home and Away.
Oh yeah.
Tasty bird. Yeah,
don't be giving out to her.
Yeah, you don't want to be giving out to her. And as I predicted last week, it is what it is. T-shirts are now available on boohoo.com.
Okay.
There you go. People are listening. So those t-shirts are available as I predicted last week. Now, that was just a little quick rundown. Wednesday. Right? Someone was making a chili con carne. Said, oh, we need a bit of spice. Whew. Fucked in two women. Elma. Girl from Essex, right? She was one of the girls. And secondly, this was it, lad. The series took off on Wednesday night when Maura Higgins from County Longford arrived into the villa. One word, that. Filth.
What?
She's as fucking gamey as a student nurse in Coppers at 3:30 in the morning. I'll tell you that now. Oh, for a fact, lad. This one, I'm telling you, Maura from Longford, she definitely went to like teenage discos in the Harriers in Tullamore and was giving lads hand jobs outside. Guaranteed. Oh,
that's a fair assumption.
She's done stuff in Supermax toilets after nightclubs. I'm telling you that now. So Maura's in, right?
This is your time to say like podcast disclaimer there, Lauren.
Podcast disclaimer there on everything.
In your own time there, Lauren. Yeah.
Yeah, on everything I just said there. But she came into the villa and I tell you, I don't know if she's playing a game and her game plan is to get more like TV time, but she's getting some amount of it. So she came straight in and she went on a date with, they'd pick three lads each. And one of the guys she picked was Tommy, and the girls were overlooking this on the balcony and they were heckling her and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah. She wasn't having none of it, boy.
But sure, they're all playing the game. Like.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But things are changing. So Tommy had to cook for her. So she picked Tommy for the starters.
Beans on toast.
No.
That would have been Michelin, sir.
Tommy, I'd say Tommy is an advocate for LCA, I'd say. I'd say he would have done it.
Taking too many punches.
Yeah, he's taken a few slaps into the snods.
Lad, what did he cook?
He didn't.
So the other day, he asked the lads how to make peppermint tea, which is basically just putting hot water in a cup.
With the tea bag.
So he asked them how to do that. So he made her, for starters, dry bread, slice of cheese on it, ketchup, mayonnaise on top of the cheese.
Oh my God.
He actually served that up to a woman. And in fairness, you know, she's from Longford. That's probably considered a delicacy for her. Because it worked. Because she said to Tommy, you give me fanny flowers. She said, Tommy, you give me, I just want to jump on you, she said. I'm direct quoting here.
She wants to scream his name.
Yeah, she wants to scream his name. That's what she said to him. Now, you wonder where I got those assumptions from. This one is fire. Fire.
This is bread, cheese, ketchup and mayonnaise.
Yeah, and like he sent her pulses racing with that. Imagine if he'd given her fucking garlic prawns or something. She'd have hopped them on the table, I'd say. Done and dusted. Kippers and custard. So now, Tommy, right, who was part of a love triangle last week, is now part of another love triangle this week. So there's Tommy at the top, and then you got Maura and Molly Mae going for his affections, right? Molly Mae wasn't happy. Tommy spent a bit of time with Maura.
They all want a bit of the toast, lad.
And they all want Tommy's cheese toasties, like.
Tommy's toast, right?
Tommy's toast, like. Get that in the t-shirt now next week. It'll be Tommy's toast. So last night, Tommy was slept on the couch to avoid confrontation. And the bowel Maura came out, minxy head on her, right? Came out and got on top of Tommy on the couch and went to kiss him. Now, Tommy has dodged a few left hooks in his time. So he dodged the kiss, and she kind of half got his cheek. And then she got back into bed. So now the big question is, who will Tommy pick? Will he pick Molly Mae or Maura?
What's your prediction?
I'm going to predict he's going to pick Molly Mae.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah, and Maura, after coming in and setting the place alight and going all out for Tommy and being pure filth, she's going to be left on the scrap heap, I'd say.
She's making it too easy for him.
She's too easy, lad. She's putting it on a plate for Tommy. Do you know what? Fair enough, Tommy, good looking man.
It's better than what he put on a plate for her.
Classic. So that's the big question this week. And I'm going to do a poll over on the Insta of who we think Tommy should pick, Molly Mae and Maura. And we'll have the results next week.
I saw a bit of it during the week with you there. And it was the episode where the dancer lad and his... So they're half boyfriend, half girlfriend. Mm. They got to spend the night in this hideaway.
Yeah.
So there's a hot tub and a private bedroom and all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we don't know if they see... They said they didn't seal the deal.
They said they didn't have sex.
Yeah. Lad, that's why I wanted...
Would have showed if they did, because it would have been great television.
That's why during the week, you know, I'm petitioning to get you in there. Because you'll do it. You'll go and
do it. Do what needs to be done.
If you need an Irishman to have sex on telly.
Yeah, it rolls on another week. Get Johnny B into the villa. That's the Love Island roundup for this week. It's going to be sensational television next. Finally, it's Yurt and Dirt time, where we give our highlights and lowlights of the week. Yurt and Dirt. Johnny B, do you want to kick us off?
My dirt of the week is a classic. Down at hurling training, we were playing everyone's favourite game, backs and forwards. Right?
Yeah.
A staple.
Then there's a time when they're like, right, swap around. And all the backs are taking shots. There was a drill during the week there where the backs were taking shots. And I just skipped the queue and I went out taking shots. And one fella looked at me and I was like, it'll be all fun and games now in a match if I put the ball wide.
Yeah.
And I'm in the forwards. I don't think at a junior A level that we should have the cornerbacks spending their time taking shots.
I agree.
They need to be hooking and blocking and flicking and striking and jumping and rolling and
grabbing lads by the jerseys, yeah, and insulting their families.
Yeah.
All the stuff cornerbacks do well.
Yeah, that's my dirt of the week.
That's your dirt of the week. Yeah, I have to agree with you, Johnny, on that one. My dirt of the week is, I went in to, I won't name the shop. They're not fucking paying me, so. I went into a shop during the week in Clonmel, a clothes shop, a men's clothes shop. Well, men's and women's unisex clothes shop.
Mm-hmm.
I went in looking for an old jacket, lad. Now, normally I get the ones in Val's. But he's in between stock now at the moment. So I went into Clonmel to have an old look. And just looking for a nice light anorak for summer. There wasn't a jacket in the shop. Not one jacket.
What had they?
In the shop. Shirts, t-shirts, shorts, pants, shoes. No jackets.
No good.
Lads, this is... I just want to let this retail chain know. This is Ireland. Fellas need jackets in summer. Sort it out. That's my dirt of the week. And can I give you my yurt as well?
Do it, lad.
Do you remember back in the day, in around 2009?
Yeah.
2010. The haircut was all in. The mullet.
Okay.
And like, fellas used to like kind of shave the sides and let the top and the back grow. So like,
oh yeah, yeah.
When I went to my Debs, I actually used a hair straightener to straighten
my
ends. That was all the look. That was the look at the time.
I don't know, was it?
Right? No, it was. It was known as the Turles haircut. Now, I want to let you know something.
What?
It's back.
No.
It's back.
Make it stop.
Who says it's back?
Back. So this morning, before we recorded this podcast, I was watching Carlton against the Western Bulldogs in the Aussie Rules. And I counted 8 lads between the both teams who had this mullet, the 2009 mullet, I'm going to call it.
But Australians are hillbillies, lad.
Yeah, but I don't know, are they behind the time? As in, they're only getting the 2009 haircuts now, or are they ahead of the time and it's going to come back around in a loop?
They are pure retro. I've got a cousin over there and he's got a full, like, Anchorman moustache.
Okay.
He's about 23 and he's in a band. Just... I don't know, is he doing it to be ironic or what, does he actually think it's cool?
Well, I counted eight lads. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say within the next year, that's going to be back in Ireland.
Oh, I know, the Aussies are pure hillbillies, lad. It's not the same thing.
They have a tan to go with it. They're at the beach and it just suits it a little
Podcast
more.
Podcast listeners, let's bring the mullet back. Let's do it.
Lauren, you're not in favour.
Can we confine it to just Thurles, so if that's the case?
Yeah, Thurles lads, bring back the mullet. Johnny B, your dirt.
My yurt. I'm just giving a shout out. There's these boys. They're called Team Aspect, if you want to check them out. They're doing this charity cycle. They're from Kilkenny, right? Okay, leave that aside. And they are cycling across America. Wow. And they're trying to do it in 7 days. It's pure insanity. It's 5,000 kilometres longer than the Tour de France.
Oh my gosh. Jeez, that's insane.
Christ. Yeah, it's pure insanity. So just give them a shout out here. They're raising money for, I think it's an autism unit there. And a mate of mine has a good tip. He was getting spam from some Chinese phone number, trying to sell him shit, right? On WhatsApp. So he just texts back, Tiananmen Square, June 1989. And Chinese authorities will pick that up and they will turn off the other guy's internet.
No way.
No way.
Yeah.
What is that?
The massacre of the students were protesting in Tiananmen Square and the army rolled in tanks and just fucking mauled them all down. So in China, they don't talk about it like it never happened.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
So if someone from China WhatsApps you that and you WhatsApp them back, there's a very good chance that the government in China are watching everything and they will just turn off your man's internet straight away.
Outrageous.
That's insane.
Good idea.
Yeah, there you go. If anyone is giving you shit on WhatsApp from China.
You're learning every week in this podcast. That's it for this week. From me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
And from me, Lauren.
We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Good
luck. It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.